As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. We sang that in that first song. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. And I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. May the Lord bless his word to us. Well, life is made up of good days and bad days, isn't it? If you think about it, good days and bad days. A week even can be made up of good days and bad days. So how was your week? How would you class that last week? The Christian is not immune from bad days. Yet we have hope in and through God for the days ahead. Something that cannot be taken away. You know, that hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Bad days, but we have these days ahead. We hope, we have hope for what is ahead. The Apostle Paul's life was in line with that of our Lord, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Things can change. Do you believe that? Things can change. We believe that God rewards those who earnestly seek him when we ask him to help. God can make good from bad. I mean, just ask Joseph in Genesis how God can make good from bad. Better than that, go to Calvary and see how God can make good from bad. Never lose heart. If you're a believer this morning, never lose heart. You have that hope, an unswerving hope, because the future is better because of Christ. But this psalm could be given the title, or these psalms, Bitter Days and Better Days. Because the psalmist really is going through it. Sometimes you hear people say, oh, those were the days. Very rarely hear somebody say, these are the days, do you? We kind of forget. With hindsight, we look back and we think, oh, those days were wonderful. And perhaps they were in some ways. But as I say, it seems to be one of those things that we don't appreciate until we've had those days, and they've gone. But when it comes to bitter and better days, what does it say? For the person looking to God in Christ, we have that promise of what is ahead. Now, as you've seen, as I read the Psalms back to back, there is that refrain that comes again. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. It comes twice in the first and once again in that second part. Why so downcast? Why so disturbed? Well, why are people downcast today? Well, because of what's going on around them. There's a helplessness in many a situation. And disturbed because people have been knocked out of their stride, haven't they? You know, if you wanted to go on holiday, you know, to some far-flung place, you know, and you normally do, you can't do that at the moment. So people are, you know, it's life has changed. But I don't think when we look at this psalm, we're thinking about self-centered disturbance and being downcast just because of something that's, you know, happened. It's more personal than that. It's a God-centered cry from the psalmist. As I say, many would answer about being downcast and disturbed through their circumstances. Perhaps what others have done to them. Perhaps what they've chosen to do, mistakes they've made, and all that. But here the psalmist is just longing for God, to know God in his circumstance and situation. In fact, three questions within the psalm reveal this. When can I go and meet with God? Is one of the questions. The psalmist longs to have access to the temple. Well, let me remind you, as believers, we can meet with the Lord wherever, just opening our hearts to him. You know, in a workplace, at home, wherever. But of course, coming together is an important part of our worship. And we've known a time where we've not been able to meet. So we can identify a little bit with this. But the psalmist is away from his land. He's not able to go up and meet together with his people. And then there's the question, where is your God? Or put another way, why do bad things happen to good people? What is going on? Why is this happening? Where is your God in this? To the point that the psalmist asks, why have you forgotten me? He feels as though he's been left. Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? The psalmist's faith is under fire. But just as Peter writes in his epistle about gold and faith being refined like gold, when he says, the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a people, a church, churches grieved by various trials. And that's us, isn't it? That's the church at the moment. We look out at our world, some of the decisions that are being made by godless leaders. Where will we end up with this? And we are downcast, dismayed at some decisions and disturbed within our own hearts. We have an unease about what's going on about us. Well, maybe you can identify with this on a big national, international scale, or perhaps just locally in your own life and situation. Why? Why is this happening? Why, Lord, have you forgotten me in the midst of this? When things are not as we had expected or hoped, how do we respond? When the words of others hurt or undermine, what is the answer when this goes on? Do we just brush it off? Oh, it's just life. Life's like this. Good days, bad days. Or can we see something more? Is God at work? Of course God's at work in these situations, even through these circumstances. Now, two things that more experienced people, I'm going to phrase it that way to be politically correct, often suffer from are impaired hearing, pardon, and the loss of memory. What was that? Can't remember. Is that right? I'm including myself in this. Sorry, I'm not. This is, you know. Impaired hearing and loss of memory, as well as the eyes going as well, but we'll leave the eyes for this morning. Spiritually speaking, our listening ears are very important, as well as our remembering, our memory. And I want to just look at those two things with you this morning. We want to look at our spiritual hearing and our spiritual memory. Our memory of what the Lord has done and has promised to do. So first of all, let's think about our hearing. I quip along with the comedian, my wife says I don't listen to her. Well, at least I think that's what she said. Or you might remember, you might have grown up with the tale of the owl. A wise old owl sat in an oak. The longer he sat, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we be like that wise old bird? There's a lot of noise in the world, isn't there? There's a lot of chit-chat, people filling in the gaps almost embarrassed by silence. Got to fill it in. The music's got to get louder and louder. And you just think, oh, the wise old owl just sits and watches and listens and gets wiser in doing so. Well, what was the psalmist hearing? What was he listening to? And what are you listening to? Well, he was hearing something of the world. And I don't think if you brought somebody back from perhaps the Victorian times to now, they would be absolutely, well, overwhelmed by certain things that have changed since those days. And one of the things they really would be overwhelmed with is media and how we get information. You know, that it doesn't come sort of 3 months on a ship across from, you know, it's in a click, in a moment, in a second. We've got the information, what's happening on this side of the planet. And sometimes we get media overload, or you can do if you're not careful. We live in an age of instant communication. But in that communication, lots of people have their own agendas, don't they? Lots of people find a platform for what they think or for what they would want to promote. You know, in years past, perhaps we would have lived in a little, you know, a little hamlet, a little village, and you would perhaps just hear about a few things that had gone on, perhaps in the next town. But now you hear of some wacky theory here and a strange idea there and a cult that's set up here, and you just, the whole world comes to you. And you have to sift your way through and find a way. Instant communication has its blessings, but it can be a real curse at times as well. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not a Luddite. We need to be informed about what's going on in our world, for sure. But we must be aware or beware of being infected by those of a different way of thinking and seeing within this world. And that's not to be narrow-minded and closed off. You can understand what other people think and believe as long as you know what you believe, built on the Word of God. If we listen to the world too much, we just hear and get overwhelmed by dismay and fear and everything else on the agenda of our world. We need God's Word as an anchor in stormy seas. We need it as a compass, keeping the truth of God before us. Because as you've seen, and are seeing very quickly, how quickly, you know, how men and women go off at tangents from this wonderful truth of God's word and end up in all sorts of places promoting all sorts of strange things. Well, the psalmist hears the world's taunt. Where is your God? And as I say, sometimes when bad things happen, and generally, especially when it happens to Christians, we hear the unbeliever mocking the believer. Where is your God? But no, in this, the psalm, though it has such taunts, these taunts actually get through to the very soul of the psalmist. It's not that they can just brush them off, you know, like dust. It gets to his heart. It cuts to the heart. And so we move from listening to the world and all that's going on to listening to our souls. Now, is that a good thing to do? To quiet your heart and listen? Well, these days there's a big industry built on it. Follow your heart. Listen to your heart, the pop singer bellows. You know, go with your heart. And people, you know, crash and burn because they go with their hearts. And they don't think through other things as well. The psalmist's soul is downcast and disturbed. And he's playing it through, thinking it over, going round and round like a tumble dryer. Everything's going round and round in his mind, in his thinking. It is not well with his soul. Your soul is not meant to be downcast and disturbed. Our souls are supposed to be fixed upon the Lord, to have that view of him. Now, sometimes it is good to be disturbed because you can get out of a rut that you're in, and sometimes we need to be disturbed from that. But to be dismayed or downcast, that's not the Lord's way for his people. It was not well for his soul. I was reminded of that hymn. Can you hear it even as I echo? It is well with my soul. That was written by a man called Horatio Gates Spafford. What a name. They used to have wonderful names in the past. But his story is one of tragedy. He lost four daughters on the SS Ville du Havre in 1873. Crossing the Atlantic, the ship he was on was struck by an iron sailing vessel. 266 people died, including his four daughters. So he gets to America and he's there just with his wife and funeral services for his daughter. Yet he could write in that hymn about a peace, that it is well through the Lord Jesus Christ. He could sing in write in a wonderful way of his faith. In the circumstance of the psalmist has lost his peace. I say to my God, why have you forgotten me? He really is struggling. He's listened to the world. He's listened to his own soul again and again. He's here, there. And it's even physically affecting him as well. My bones suffer mortal agony. We feel for him in what he's going through. But how did Horatio Gates Spafford come to write, it is well with my soul? By looking to Calvary, by looking to Jesus, by looking to eternal life through Jesus, so that he can say in his final verse, blessed hope, blessed rest for my soul. It is well. That is the way for our souls to be well. Looking to the Lord, listening to God, to his word. If we go off our feelings, remember when we did the Alpha course, there's a little nugget within that about how faith follows facts, and feelings comes on later on. Feelings come along following. We don't follow feelings, because if we follow feelings, we'll be up one minute, down the next. We follow the facts of God, the facts of God's word and promises. And we go forward with faith in those facts. And as we go, our feelings lift by God's word as well. Through this psalm, we see that. Though the psalm contains questions of doubt, and I've mentioned those to you, it is also rich in describing God. He says, where is God? Where is my God? Where is God? That's the question. But in the psalm, he's there at every point along the way. By day, the Lord directs his love, is the conclusion he comes to. Now, through the rest of the psalm, believe me on this, you can look later on, God is. But here, the Lord. And the Lord is a title. used to speak about how God keeps his promises, the covenant-keeping God. The psalmist is realizing that in everything, the Lord is true to his word. And even when there's discipline involved, it's because of his love. God's love is attached. God is committed to his people. So we can say by day, the Lord directs his love. Oh, but what about at night? The darkness of the soul and all the struggles in life. Oh no, he's there as well. At night, a song is with me. God is there, calming his soul. Not just for the psalmist, but for you and for me as well. The Lord is there as we listen to him. Not the world, not even our souls and our fears and our anxieties, but we listen to him. We take to heart what he has said. For remember, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. How the believers in Afghanistan need that promise. But I think we need it too as well. What a wonderful promise that is. What a difference that makes for us. So who are you listening to? What are you tuning into? What are you hearing from the world? Is it in line with what God says? Are things well with your soul or downcast? Are you downcast and disturbed? Now, I'm not talking about switching off, as I say, from the world. That's wrong. We're not a community that hides away. We should be concerned about those in need in our world. Like the parable of the Good Samaritan, we should do what we can do. But we shouldn't lose our peace in the midst of what we're doing. If we keep listening to God more than we're listening to the world, that will keep us better balanced in listening and in our doing. We need to let God's word dwell in our hearts. Keeping that unwavering hope that even in the darkest hour, there is a dawn coming. There is a new day because of the Lord. So be careful who you listen to. Get your hearing tested. Tune into God's word. But what about our memories as well? Not just our listening, but our thinking. Dear Stanley Haskew used to say, I have a good forgettery. He wouldn't admit to having a bad memory. I have a good forgettery. We constantly need to remind ourselves of the goodness of God. And here again within the psalm, the psalmist speaks of the past blessings he has known. Never forget what God has done in your life. Never forget those special moments along the way. Trust the next one is not long away, but never forget what the Lord has and is doing around us. He'd been up to the house of the Lord. He'd led the procession. He'd been with God's people. What wonderful days. He remembers those past blessings. But as well, he remembers God's character. As I said to you, that question, where is your God, comes again and again. But actually, the answer to the question's right there next to it. Because he speaks about how God is a living God in verse 2. He's active, not passive. He's involved. My soul thirst for God, for the living God. He's a personal God. Later on he says, I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. That's very specific, very personal to him. When we've had that encounter with the Lord again and again, it's personal. He's living, he's personal, he's powerful. He speaks of the waterfalls. You know the force of a waterfall, deep calling to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. Cutting a way through in the same way God can cut a way through whatever the barrier may be. And he is a permanent God. He's my rock and my stronghold, it goes on to say in Psalm 43. This and more. This is our God. Where is your God? He is with us. And this is what he's like. These are the sort of things he loves to do. Wonderfully, in Psalm 43 and verse 3, the psalmist makes this call: send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and said, I am the light of the world. And he came and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Indeed, God the Father did send God the Son forth, bringing light and truth to guide us. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we were talking briefly about the tabernacle, and we were talking about really how it's a shadow of all that Jesus came to do, God with us. He's on every page, the Lord Jesus. God's love was directed towards us in his Son. Jesus was directed every day in the wonders that he performed, was led like a lamb to the slaughter, to Calvary, for you and for me. His love is directed towards us in salvation. And then in the daily grace, we know. We sang of the treasure-filled grace in that other hymn we sang. How he supplies, how he meets the needs of those who call upon him. God sent forth the light of the world that we might not walk in darkness, that we might not be overwhelmed in dark days. He sent the truth so that we might know about God. We might understand about man and our need of God and our problem with sin and what the rescue plan is for that. Where is your God? Here is your God revealed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ on every page of this book. So we need to listen. I hope you're doing that this morning, but every time we gather together, and even in our own quiet time, just listen. Make time to listen to what God is saying to you. And to remember. Remember what he's done, and remember who he is for the future. And having tuned your hearing and prompted your mind, there's just one more thing. Engage your will. Put your hope in God. Affirm your faith in him. Do that this morning before you go. And resolve, I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Bad day, good day, I will praise him. I'll praise him through this. I'll put my hope in him. Because bitter days become better days through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon was... well, the Prince of Preachers, I think they called him. Most wonderful preacher, well, according to many. He gives a wonderful illustration. He describes in detail, he describes a white mountain of fine grains. And basically he's describing this picture well, I won't tell you what it is yet, because he then makes the point about how it's there before the man, and he has a response to make. And the problem is this, very simply. Is this white mountain of grains salt or sugar? Okay? Now, if you do this at home, all right, you'll see that they can look quite similar. All right? Well, what is it? And the answer to... you'll only know if you try it. That's the bottom line, isn't it? You'll only know if you try it. You might stand there thinking, oh no, it's going to be salt, and I don't like salt. And you'll miss out on the sweetness and the wonder of what it actually is. And as I say, Spurgeon at length makes this appeal. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Don't be put off by fears. Don't be put off by British Reserve holding back. Oh no, I'm still weighing it up. When will you make the decision? Who the Lord Jesus is. He's my Saviour and my God. The psalmist comes to that conclusion. I'll praise the Lord because of who he is. I'll yet praise you, my Saviour and my God.
Now, the two psalms run together and they finish. And they don't say, and the psalmist went home and he found that went to the temple and everything was wonderful. It doesn't say that. If this is an exile psalm, he may have been part of the group who never got back. But yet that longing and knowing the Lord was with him kept him going, kept him pressing on to the very end. The light and the truth of God, bringing from bad and bitter days, and even at times tearful days, to better, good days. Days where his faith was strengthened in God. And is that not the bottom line, the most important thing? That at the end of the day, whatever it's been, good or bad, we come through the day with the Lord and we're able to say, Lord, you've brought me through this. Refine my faith a little bit more. Got a bit of the dross out, more of the gold. I'm depending more upon you at the end of the day than I was at the beginning. This has been a good day, a better day. This is a day leading on to the very end. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning.
Father, we are so grateful to be able to testify like that he lives within our hearts. Thank you for your word. Go with us as we go from this place. May favor, may grace abound in all our hearts so that we become a blessing to others, because you are our hope and you are our God. So the Lord go with you, smile on you, be gracious to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.